I want to welcome you guys to our Missions Sunday. We are going to be taking a look at all that God has done over this past year and what he's going to do, the opportunities that he's placed before us in the year ahead. We're going to look at some passages of scripture, some different places that are going to inform our understanding of what missions is and what God has called us to do and our participation in it. The first thing that I want you to understand is what we are looking at this morning as a church is a celebration. This is a service that is a rally the troops service. It is a rally the troops service where we come together and celebrate, like I said, what God has done and look forward to what he's doing next year. But I want it to be a reminder for us that you and I have been called to participate in, let me get this connected. Govan, is it on the presentation thing? It is? Well, this is great. It worked beforehand. Don't you love technology? Okay, can you scroll through it for me? So just go to the next one. I hope that this morning this service serves to remind us that we have been called to participate in the greatest rescue mission that this world has ever known. That is what the church has been sent here to do. That is what Jesus left us here for, to participate in that great rescue service. And we're going to take a look at some of that this morning. We're going to want to see, oh, I've got it now. Or do you have it? You still have it? Okay, it's on you. Go to the next thing. We are going to see from Scripture our responsibility to participate in this rescue service. You can see Proverbs 24:11 on the screen behind me. This defines our understanding of gospel here at Fairway Baptist Church. It's the reason we named our city outreach Project 24:11 after Proverbs 24:11, which says to us, deliver those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those that are stumbling towards a slaughter. Oh, hold them back. And what we see in that verse is our God, the creator of the universe, the God who sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for sin in this world, who rose from the grave to give us victory over death and sin. That God commissioning his people to go after those who we saw last week were dead in their trespasses and sin. He's called us to a rescue mission that, oh, hold them back, is a plea from God to his people. If you would only do what I've placed you there to do, if you would only do the thing that I have established you for, those that are headed towards death and a slaughter could hear the truth and quite possibly, through his divine intervention, be saved. So this is what he's called us to. This is why he left the church. Let's go into the next slide there. I want you to see this great commission that God has given us in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18, where Jesus comes up and he speaks to his disciples and he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is what we call the Great Commission. This is what Jesus gave to his disciples before he left this earth. It's the reason that he didn't take us with him. He left us here for this very purpose. The command in this Great Commission is not to go. The way that Jesus is saying this is, live your life. And as you're living your life, an opportunity is given to you. You do these things that I'm about to tell you. The command here is make disciples. That is the only command that is in this passage. Make disciples. That is his expectation of us. You are a disciple of Jesus. The expectation is that you are going to be about the business of making disciples. How do you do that? The only way to make a disciple is to share the gospel, to explain to those that do not know Jesus and understand what he has done and who he is, to walk them through the gospel and explain to them that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth to live a perfect life because you and I cannot live a perfect life. We've sinned, we've disobeyed God, and so he comes to show us what true obedience is. Righteousness displays it for us in his life, never sinned. And because the penalty for sin is death, and if we die in our imperfection, we're separated from God for all of eternity, Jesus paid that price for you. Because having no sin in his life, he was the perfect and acceptable sacrifice before God. And he dies on that cross to pay the death penalty that we owe for sin. And after 3 days in the grave, rises from the dead, walks out in a physical body, which shows all the world that he has victory over the very things that hold humanity captive. And if we will believe that he rose from the grave and will confess publicly to the world that he is Lord, in other words, we confess openly to the world that he has all authority, which that therefore changes our life, because now our life is defined by what Jesus says we're supposed to do and not what we want. And so as we surrender to that and call him Lord, and we have the salvation and the forgiveness that comes from God, our life now is conformed to his teachings and to his commandments. And so what do we see here in Matthew chapter 28? Make disciples. And if we are truly disciples of Christ, if we've made that confession of faith that Jesus is Lord, then our life in some way has to be involved in this process of disciple making. And so he's called us as individuals and as a church to make disciples where? Where I work with my neighbors, right? Well, certainly they're included there, but look at the text. What does the text say? Make disciples. Say it. I want to make sure you see that. Make disciples all nations. All nations. He has called us to make disciples of all nations. Wherever he opens a door and gives us opportunity to go and make disciples in that place. And if you can look on the stage, you see the flags that are here. God has presented Fairway Baptist Church with tremendous opportunities for the advancement of the gospel. We have connections in Baltimore and Towson, Maryland, where we are working with a church planter. We have connections across the state of Texas, particularly in Houston, you're going to see in a few moments, where we are connected with a new church that is there in the fastest growing part of that city. We have connections in Mozambique, where we are working with missionaries that are there, training up leaders to plant churches and establish them long after the missionaries have gone. And then Belize, the opportunities to do the same there and helping churches and advancing the gospel there in that country. God has presented our small church here in Wichita Falls in the middle of nowhere, North Texas, with tremendous opportunities. Isn't he a great God? These are the things that he has entrusted to you. He's entrusted you first and foremost with the proclamation of the gospel. Man, what a weight and responsibility that is when we look at it in light of his plea in Proverbs 24:11. Hold them back if you would only proclaim that gospel. And then we see the expectation, the command to his disciples. Make disciples. Go and make disciples. And the scope to which he has entrusted and has opened the doors of opportunity for us. Look at the next slide. Look at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says to us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." What has happened? So we understand from Acts 1:8, the scope of this is worldwide. He expects us to have influence in our everyday life. He expects us to proclaim that gospel in our everyday life. He expects us to continue to expand where he gives us opportunities to take that gospel out to other places around the world. There is nowhere that the gospel is not intended to go. There is nowhere that God doesn't intend for his people to make disciples. It doesn't matter the country. It doesn't matter the context. It doesn't matter how difficult that place is to reach. God intends for his church to make disciples even in the hard places. That is his expectation of us. That is what he wants. That is why he has left us here in this earth. Keep scrolling. So here's where we want to look at this morning, understanding these three things, that God has called us to deliver those that are being taken away to death the plea for us to hold them back, to go and make disciples of all nations and to do it everywhere that he gives us the opportunity to do it, to be his witness, even in the remotest parts of the earth. And so I'm asking you to think about this question with me this morning. How do I participate in this great rescue mission that God has given us? We see from Scripture that it falls on our shoulders as disciples of Christ to participate in it. So how do I do this? There's three things I want us to focus on this morning. I want us to focus on the next slide. The three things that I want us to see this morning that we can do in participating in this mission are to pray, to give, and to go. You can go on to the next one. So we're going to start with this idea of praying. I want to remind you as we look through Matthew and we've talked about Jesus' expectation of prayer. I want you to remember that expectation. Just keep going. Keep scrolling for me. Go back one more. So when we look at Matthew chapter 6, what we see here in this text that we have already looked at, that God has already presented to us, it is a very clear expectation. When you pray, he doesn't say to us in Matthew chapter 6, if you pray, or if you get the opportunity to pray, he says, when you pray. And our understanding of that is that since he expects us to do it, it should be a part of our walk with Christ. We've talked about making that a daily part of our lives. We've talked about the idea that this is even on a corporate level, that as a church, he expects us to gather together to pray. And in this context where we're talking about our participation in missions, it certainly means that we are to participate in his great work of reaching the nations by doing it through prayer. I want you to make some other observations with me. Keep going, Governor. I want you to see in these verses that he's putting up on the screen the importance of prayer in missions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul writes to this church, and look, that is the verse. That is what he says. Brethren, pray for us. Here's a church planter who has gone way outside of Jerusalem where the church launched and is planting churches all over the world. And he writes back to an established church that he helped to get off the ground and says to them, pray for us. I want you to see a missionary, a church planter, pleading with a local church to pray for him and his partners in the work that they're doing. I want you to see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, where he asked the church in Ephesus, pray on my behalf. He's asking them for prayer. I want you to see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where he writes this local church in Thessalonica again and says to them, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified. He's asking local churches to be involved in praying for the work that he and his missionary partners are doing. He's asking them to pray not only for them, for provision, for protection, for wisdom, but look at what he prays in the 2 Thessalonians. Pray that the gospel will advance. So our prayer and involvement in missions is to pray, one, for our missionaries. God protect them. God use them. God give them provision. God put everything that they need in their path, in their hands, to witness in the context in which you sent them. And in doing that, God, would you let the gospel advance? When was the last time that you got on your knees and pleaded with God for the advance of the gospel through our church, through other missionaries that you know, through your own life? Prayer drives our missions efforts. It is a catalyst for everything that we do. But in this context and talking about missions, we have to understand and see the importance of a missionary from Scripture pleading with the local church, with believers like you, to pray for them. Our missionaries covet your prayers. I can't tell you how many of them I talk to over Skype, Facebook, through email, who, when I say, what do you need? And all they ever ask for 99% of the time is, we need you to pray. Here are things for you to pray for. Some of those things I can share. Some of them I can't because of security reasons. But they covet our prayers. And you may know the specific prayer request they have. You may not. And if you don't, that's okay. You know from Scripture what Paul is asking you to pray for. Pray for him. Pray for strength. Pray for endurance. Remember, these are people, missionaries of ours, who have grown up in an American context and have sold everything that they own and have moved to another culture and another place to live and invest their lives. Pray for them, that they would be able to accomplish the task that God has sent them to do. So prayer is such a vital part of our missions effort. Go to the next one. Keep going. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked of Him. If we want God to move through our missions efforts, if we want God to move through all the things that God has entrusted us with to do, we've seen, even in Matthew, the model prayer that we have, God's expectation for us to ask. Asking Him for our daily bread. God, meet our needs for today. Give us the provision that we need to take care of the task that You have set in front of us. We see John here saying to us, if we ask according to the will of God, God will give us what we need to accomplish and to fulfill that will in our lives, right? We see that in Scripture. It's Scripture. It's faithful. It's what's right. It's what's true. And what John is telling us here is that if we are seeking to fulfill the will of God and we ask Him for the provision that we need to do that, He will be faithful and make that happen. Do you know what that means for us? If we are confident that in Scripture God has called us to be missionaries, He's established His church to go, to make disciples, to reach the nations with the gospel, then what we can trust is that when we know that's His will for us in Baltimore and across Texas, other places in this country, in Mozambique and Belize and wherever else He gives us opportunity, that when we bow in prayer, either as individuals, as families, or we do it together as a church, then we know that when we ask Him, God, give us what we need to do what You've set before us in these places, guess what He's going to do? He's going to give it, right? He's going to provide that. So our first task in fulfilling that great rescue mission is to pray. Go ahead to the next one. So in your bulletin this morning, or it was handed to you, you have been given a prayer guide. It's just a half of a piece of paper with some very simple instructions telling you who to pray for, what to give, and where to go. And so I want you to take this and carry it home with you. Put it up on your refrigerator, bulletin board, wherever it is that you have reminders. Or keep it in your Bible so that as you're studying Scripture every day, as you're going into your prayer closet to pray with your Father who is in secret, I want you to pull this out. And over this next month, I'm going to ask you as an individual and as families, and we will do this together as a church, to pray for these things that are on this list. I want you to pray specifically for our missionaries. We see a very clear calling from Paul in Scripture to pray for missionaries. We see very clear praying for God to work and for His will to be made manifest through His people. And so I'm giving you three couples to pray for over November. To pray for our partners in Mozambique. To pray for Chris and Katie, our church planters that are in Towson, Maryland. And to pray for John and Catherine, the man who has planted Emmanuel Baptist Church that I will tell you about in the fastest growing area in Houston. I want our efforts in praying for who is on mission to be focused on these partners over this next month. Pray for God to meet their needs. Pray for God to meet not only their physical needs, the financial needs of their ministries, but also their spiritual needs, that they would be encouraged and refreshed in the work that He has called them to. And then I'm asking you, as we're going to talk about in just a moment, the next component of our participation in giving. I'm asking you and your family to take November and pray about what God would have you to give to our Light the Way missions offering, what we use to accomplish this task of missions that God has called us to. And then where to go. You're going to see also in just a moment the opportunities that are set before you in 2018. I want you to begin praying now about where God would have you to go and serve in this rescue mission over the next year. So that is our prayer emphasis. That is how you can participate in our missions efforts through prayer. Go to the next one. We're going to talk about giving now. I want you to kind of think back with me for just a moment and remember our understanding of stewardship, that the gospel compels our generosity. When we look at what God has given to us and what He has done, The measure of grace that he has established and has placed into our lives as believers compels us to be generous as our Father in heaven is generous. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He's actually writing to them there, encouraging them to give to an offering that's being taken up to go and support the church in Jerusalem. And so we see in this context of Scripture giving to help with missions efforts. And this concept that we learned in our stewardship series at the first of the year, that the gospel compels our generosity, has got to drive our understanding of giving to participate in missions. We are talking about giving above and beyond our tithe. Remember, we want to look at that. Go to the next slide for me. Thinking back to our stewardship series, I want you to think about the tithe that we talked about from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the tithe, the 10% that was taken from all that God had given you, was brought to the public storehouse that everyone knew about so that it was placed there to be used to minister to everyone there in the community through the temple worship. And so it was a minimum. There were other tithes and offerings that were collected in the Old Testament, not just the 10%, but the 10% was the minimum, even in the Old Testament, that was required by law in the participation of the worship in the temple. And so we see that in the Old Testament. You carry that over to the New Testament now, where we learned that it's the gospel itself that drives the expectation of our giving. The generosity of God, His grace, the gift that's freely given to us that we might have forgiveness and reconciliation with God, defines every aspect of our walk with Him, including our giving. And so we're not seeking a minimum. What we're seeking is God, as we read in Paul's writings. Everyone has to give as he's purposed in his own heart. And so you have to spend time alone with the Lord and say, God, the minimum that we see in Scripture, 10%, what is your will for me and for my family? The whole concept of the gospel teaches us sacrifice. So that when we are thinking about giving, what we do is we weigh our giving on the scale of the gospel. And when we see this grace that is ultimately the measure that God has given us, and we put that up against our own lives, we have to ask, God was willing to give all for me. What am I willing to give and to do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that is something that has to be answered between you and God. What I can tell you is that what we are talking about here in giving is not only giving. First of all, I'm asking you to meet the commitment that you have made in being a member of this church to tithe regularly. That helps take care of the everyday ministries of this church. And in doing that, you are still participating in missions in some way, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment. But what I'm asking of us right now in this season today, go to the next slide. All that you give to our Light the Way missions offering that we're going to be talking about this morning should go above and beyond your tithe. In other words, you give the tithe that you give as being a member of this church to support the everyday ministries of this church. And I'm calling you now through prayer as a family, on your own, to seek God's will and ask Him, God, in light of this great gospel that has saved me, the sacrifice that you made, how can we as a family sacrifice and participate in this great rescue mission that you have given to your church through giving? And everything that you give to that Light the Way missions offering, I'm asking it to be above and beyond your tithe. I'm asking God to stretch us on this. To stretch us in our giving so that we are invested not just in our time and in our prayers, but also financially in the work that God is doing. And by doing that, what we do is we bring that in and it supports all of our missions efforts. It sends out some of our workers. It meets the logistical needs that we have on the field, such as transportation, gas, food, things that we need for ministry there. We buy supplies there that we can't get outside of a country or that's too expensive for us to carry wherever that we're going. And then any special projects that we might have, things that we might have the opportunity to participate in over the year that come up. So we need to be praying and asking God, understanding what He has left us here for, how can we participate in this through giving? What would you have us as a family or as an individual sacrifice to participate and this mission for which you have left Fairway here for. Go to the next slide, Govan. I want you to understand when you give, even in your tithes, much of what you give there, some of what you give there, goes to help with missions efforts here in Texas and around the world. We are part of the Southern Baptist Convention that participates in what we call the cooperative program. Now, here's a neat way that we get to participate in more missions than we would if we were just doing all of this on our own. As part of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, when you give money here at Fairway, a portion of what you give is passed on directly to our state convention. That state convention then takes, out of all the churches that participate in it, takes 51% of everything that comes in and sends it directly on to this cooperative program, which funds our International Mission Board, our North American Mission Board that does church planting here in the United States. It funds 6 seminaries and a few of the other entities that I could tell you about later. But I want you to see the emphasis here that even in tithing, some of what you give is going to this cooperative program to help International Mission Board missionaries like our partners in Mozambique, to help some of our church planters like our friends up in Towson, Chris and Katie. So a portion of what we give goes to that. It also is set aside to help with church planting here in the state of Texas. Because our state convention has got a major emphasis on planting churches here in the state. So some of what you give in the offering plate goes there. That allows us to stretch out our giving to be able to participate in greater missions efforts around the world. Go to the next one. Like the way missions offering goes above and beyond our cooperative program giving, and it reaches into missions even further, because in that Light the Way missions offering, our church and stewardship team has decided and designated that we would give 30% of what comes in through Light the Way to Lottie Moon, which is the International Mission Board's their way of us giving to support directly our international missionaries through our International Mission Board. So when you give to our Light the Way missions offering, 30% of what you give is going directly to Lottie Moon. It's going directly to participate even further in this cooperative program of reaching missionaries around the world. And I want you to see, it's so hard for us sometimes because we're so disconnected from our missionaries. They're all over the world and we don't get to hear a lot of stories. So I want you to hear this morning what you're giving, both through tithe and what God calls you to give sacrificially through our Light the Way missions offering. I want you to see what it did over this past year. So would you play that video for us?
I don't have a question. I want to say thank you. Because you came, I heard the gospel, and God saved me and my family, and through us, many others.
I was blown away when this brother from Central Asia stood at the SBC meeting in June after I gave our report to just say thank you for how IMB missionaries have reached his people. I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't that. And his story has resonated with so many people, been shared, talked about in churches, on the internet, because his story and so many others like it, this is what the IMB is all about. We partner with Southern Baptist churches to empower limitless missionary teams who are making disciples, multiplying churches among unreached people and unreached places for the glory of God. You think about Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, Cooperative Program. Together, Southern Baptist churches have given over $250 million this last year to fund mission efforts around the world. And as a result of that giving, over 87,000 people have professed faith in Christ for the first time. Over 4,500 churches have started in places where churches have not been before as a result of our partnership together. Southern Baptists are generous. We regularly hear stories of their commitment individually and as churches to give sacrificially. I think about Madeline Ray, who wrote me a letter this year wanting to use her wish from the Make-A-Wish Foundation to fund work among unreached people. In this letter, she said, "I just want to be a part of getting the gospel to those who have never heard it." She said, "I determined that making a donation to the IMB for unreached people would be an eternally effective way to use my wish." Now her single wish will echo into eternity as unreached people hear the gospel for the first time as a result of her generosity. Because of that sort of generous giving, IMB is once again on firm financial ground. This year we are poised to begin sending more and more missionaries in the coming days, and I'm convinced our churches are ready to do that. Already this year, we sent out 193 new missionaries, with still more to come. I think about one such missionary, Abuk. She fled from her home country of South Sudan with her family when she was young. They landed in Amarillo, Texas, and God in His sovereignty connected them with First Baptist Church there, and that church is now sending her out on mission in partnership with the IMB. It is an awesome scene when the mission field becomes a mission force. That is what is happening through our cooperative work together among unreached peoples and places around the world. Thank you for the opportunity to partner together with you in this eternally important work. Thank you for praying, for giving, for sending people with the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel. Let's keep doing this work together so that God's fame will be made known among people who've never heard the name of Jesus.
You see where your resources are going. How many people were reached with the gospel this past year because we were able to participate in something like the cooperative program? And it's because we give that we open up doors and opportunities for more missionaries to go. And so your giving here at Fairway opens the doors for other missionaries around this country that are raised up by like-minded churches to go with the International Mission Board. We're praying for God to raise up some of you to go in that way. It's opening doors for us to send people and to do work that we wouldn't be able to do otherwise without our willingness to understand that this gospel compels our generosity. So go to the next slide. We are talking about our Light the Way missions offering. In 2016, you gave over $9,200 to Light the Way. Man, that was incredible. That was a great blessing to this church. It has accomplished great things, and I'm going to show you here in just a moment. And I am so proud as your pastor to seeing you have responded the way that you did to give the way that you've given to missions. This year, we are looking at a goal of breaking $10,000. That's what I'm asking us to pray about. How would God have each of us to sacrificially give so that we raise among this church, above and beyond our tithe, $10,000 or more to continue to do the work that He has given to us? 30% of that will go directly to Lottie Moon to help our international missionaries that we just saw President Platt talk about that are going through our International Mission Board. So that's our goal for this year. Is to break $10,000. Go to the next slide for us. As we talk about this goal, as I call you to pray about this, and I want you to consider some other things. Keep going. Remembering that we are His witness, we are now talking about this concept of going. We give so that other missionaries may go, but we're also giving here at our church so that people within our own congregation can be raised up and can go. I want to talk to you about the going aspect of what God has done here at Fairway Baptist Church. Go to the next slide. Over this past year, I want you to see what God has allowed us to do. Now, let me put this in a context for you, because I want you to really understand what a movement of God this is among our people. In the last 5 years, leading up to 2017, so from 2011, 2012 up, Fairway sent out a total, over a five-year period, a total of 26 people on missions. Four of those were the team that we sent to Belize in 2016. So if you break that down, that's just an average of about, I don't know, four or five people a year. You're looking at roughly over a five-year period, only about 3% of this congregation being sent out over a period of 5 years. Now we get to 2017. Look at what God has done. We were able to send out seven teams this year. Now, two of those were last-minute special forces teams that rallied and went down to Houston to help with the relief effort. But it's still God putting an opportunity in front of us, and we have to be ready whenever He gives us those opportunities. And I want to praise you, those that were able to respond to go. Not only those that were able to go, but those that were able to give to even help with those trips. You saw the urgency, you saw the need, and you stepped up, and you as a church did that. But God allowed us to send out 7 teams this past year. On those 7 teams, total participants on all 7 were 53 participants if we totaled up how many people went on those trips. Out of that, we sent out 34 individuals from this church on mission this year. 34 different people in 1 year, as opposed to 26 over a period of 5 years. Can somebody please say praise God? Thank you. Yes. Praise God for what He's doing. 34 people, individuals went out from this church. 17 of those went on more than one trip. 17 of them on more than one trip. I don't know about you, but when I look at this and I see that's all in 1 year, what that says to me is God, it's stirring. And now look, this doesn't even include the numbers for Project 2411, where we averaged 12 participants every week that we went out, 12 participants going out door to door to take the gospel to this city. God is stirring and awakening in this church a passion for the gospel, a passion for missions, a passion for evangelism that has not been here. And these numbers right here show what God is doing through you. They show your obedience and your willingness to look at Scripture and to say, we see the urgent plea of God to reach the nations with the gospel, and we are going to do it. Can you get excited about it? You should be excited about what God is doing, because what we're seeing is a movement that is showing that Fairway and this aspect of missions and evangelism is becoming healthy. And man, that ought to be something to be excited about and to want to be a part of. I can't wrap my mind around, when we've heard all the stories of things that God has done through our going, why anyone would look at this and not desire to be a part of what God is doing here at Fairway. Go to the next slide. I want to talk about what God has done. Look at the spiritual fruit that God has placed in front of us because of these mission trips. Number one, many of you growing in your own spiritual life. There are some of you who would have never knocked on a door to have a conversation with a stranger about the gospel that over the last year, you've stepped up and you've done it. There are some of you who would have never thought about going on a mission trip, and you allowed yourself to be stretched by God, and you stepped out and you've done it. And just the fact that you are seeing the reality of what God has left you here for, to be His witness in all the world. Wherever He gives you influence, wherever He gives you opportunity, the fact that you are seeing that you are a disciple maker, many of you are stepping up and are investing in lives of others. May God do that with all of us that are here at Fairway Baptist Church. May He awaken that passion and give all of us that spiritual growth where we desire to invest in the lives of others for the sake of the advance of the gospel. May He continue to give us that growth, that spiritual growth. But I want you to consider the other things that He's done. You look at Belize. When we went down to Belize at the first of this year, there were 5 people when we went hut to hut in different villages, 5 people who made professions of faith, trusting Christ for their salvation. Then you consider Houston. We went down to help launch that church there in Emmanuel. That church launched right at Easter, and it is a thriving church. Guess what? Here's what I want you to see about how healthy God has made that church right from the very beginning. Just this past week, Emmanuel Baptist Church had people from their congregation in a closed country over in the Middle East advancing the gospel. And you helped get that church up and going. Baltimore. Chris and Katie have launched a church there, and while we were there, we didn't see anyone profess Christ, and although we were sharing the gospel door-to-door and on the campus of Towson University. But I want you to know that through the last team that we sent, there were 2 individuals that were reached on that campus who got connected with Restoration Church and are now there and a part of that community, and they have brought people with them. And over the process of the last several weeks, look how many the Lord has brought to faith in Christ through that. 9 salvations, because we reached out to 2 people on that campus and connected them with the church. That's 19 new brothers and sisters in Christ that we are aware of through our missions efforts. But I guarantee you there's more that we don't even know. And you consider even in Mozambique, the other five professions that we had there in a Muslim context, those that knew they would face persecution and be ridiculed by their community if they came to faith in Christ. And yet they said, we understand that. We have to follow Jesus. And it's because we went and participated in the work that was going on there that these five were reached. 19 people that we know of. What about what we don't know? Go to the next one. Those of you that went on both of our Harvey relief teams, I want you to see what God did. You remember the story where we got down there and they were frantically working to open up the crisis pregnancy center so that they could save babies' lives. And they asked our team, go into the sanctuary. It's all got to be ripped out. It's all got to be mudded out because it was flooded, 3 feet of water. It's not a high priority for us right now, but we still need to get that done so that we can get the repairs made. So we said, we'll do it. We went in there. We ripped out carpet. We ripped out the old stage, tore out the walls. Man, we demolished the inside of that so that it could dry out. And while we were doing that, the associate pastor at Northeast Houston Baptist Church, which runs Farrington Mission that we were helping, came in and said, I got a tractor trailer load of stuff coming here for relief. It's all on pallets. We don't have anywhere to put it. We can't get the pallets in the gym. And we're standing there in the sanctuary. And the pastor looks at his associate pastor and says, the only place we could put it is where we're standing right now. The pathway's wide enough to get it in here. There's double doors. Pallets can be rolled right in here and dropped. He looks at me and says, do you realize if your team had not come here and done this, we would not be able to take this tractor trailer? Clap and give God praise for it. God worked through you to open up that. And because of that, they were ready to receive that and start giving out those donations to give relief to all those that had been flooded out by Hurricane Harvey the next weekend. In fact, we sent another team down there. Some of the team participated in the distribution. Others of us continued to do some of the repair work that had to be done. But over a period of about a month after we opened that door, God used our team to open that door for the relief efforts to be put in there to be distributed. Over 2,600 families were helped through Farrington Mission. $55,000 in relief goods were distributed, and they counted this, okay? They counted this. The gospel was shared with over 7,000 people who came through those lines week after week to get relief. We have no idea at this point the eternal impact of that. We do know there were some that came to faith in Christ, but we will not realize the total fruit of our mission efforts through this until eternity. And I don't know about you, but to watch what God is doing here at our church, it excites me. It excites me to be a part of it. I hope that it excites you to be a part of it. I hope that it is building in you this passion to do the things that God has called us to do, to pray, to give, and now to see what He's done in 2017. The numbers that tell the story of your awakening to the advance of the gospel through your life and your willingness to go, they tell the story of God making us a healthy church, entrusting us with this great commission in the advance of the gospel. So the response now is not just to pray and give. The response is also for us to go. So go to our next slide. I want you to see the opportunities that are before you in 2018. Project 2411 will be conducted next year the same way it was this year. We will have four semesters that are 6 weeks long. This is kind of an introductory way to missions and introductory to learning to share your faith. And if you have not participated in this, man, I want to just encourage you to do it, because I will promise you many of those who have gone on our mission trip who have that passion stirred for what God is doing and understand the command to make disciples, for many of them it started right here at 2411. And if we can't be trusted to share the gospel where we are, can we truly be trusted to go and share it somewhere else? So I want to encourage you this year to begin praying about which semester God would have you to participate in 2411. The other opportunities that are before us, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Houston. You'll be hearing more about 2411 as we get closer to the next year. But this trip in Houston, let's show the dates and all for it, if you can keep scrolling forward. The dates are going to be over spring break this next year, March 10th through the 16th. We will go down and worship with them on a Sunday morning, spend that weekend with them and then begin working with them that next week, doing evangelism, some more door-to-door distribution of invites, inviting them to the church, and then whatever other projects that Pastor John comes up with that he needs for us to do. This trip here is a perfect trip for families. I want to see God not only working through individuals, I want to see God working through families in our church. I want you to participate with your wives, your children, your husbands. I want you to go together and serve the Lord. Man, it will change your household if you're able to do that. And this trip over spring break, to say to the Lord, I'm not only going to sacrifice in giving God, I'm going to sacrifice my time to go and do this. Listen, I understand that many of you have to sacrifice your vacation, those types of days off, in order to go and participate in God's work of advancing the gospel. And I want you to know, I don't take that for granted. It is an honor to watch you say to the Lord, I will sacrifice not only my giving, but my time for your kingdom. And I want to say thank you for your willingness to do that, to give up your time to go on any of these trips. Spring break being a perfect opportunity for college students, perfect opportunity for our families to get together, to go to Houston and to serve a local church there that is striving to reach one of the fastest growing areas of Houston. The whole north side of Houston is just exploding. Houston is on track to become the second largest city in our country. They're well on their way to reaching that mark. The cost of this trip, I'm estimating it's going to be less than $250, because I haven't confirmed everything yet, but I'm willing to bet that just as they've done in the past, this church will find homes to put you up in so that you don't have to pay for a hotel room. Now, if you're going as a family, I can't promise that to you. You may have to have a hotel room with your family. But the trip down there is well worth it to be with a church that loves the gospel, that's going to come alongside you and help to reach their city. And we're going to go help them over spring break. So I want you to consider that trip. Anyone, this is open to anyone who wants to go. But I'm asking especially for families to consider this one, and our college students to consider sacrificing your spring break to go and help this church in Houston. Go to the next one. Mozambique. This is an opportunity. A little over a year ago, Jason and his wife Amanda were here. Jason stood and spoke to our church about what God has called them to do there in Mozambique. We sent a team. Jeremy Watkins and I went over to assess everything on the ground this past summer. And it was just an incredible time, the way that God worked there. And we are so convinced that God wants us to be involved. And so we are going back over the summer. Now, Jason hasn't given me exact dates yet because he's trying to work out some logistics with some of the training and things that his supervisors ask him to do. But this trip is going to be late July, early August, around that time. This is going to be one of those trips that's limited in space because of the logistics of Africa, of getting us from the airport to the place where we're going to go. Probably about six people is going to be the most that we can take. We're going to be there doing evangelism. We're going to have to go to a village and camp out. There's a little hut that you might be able to stay in, but most of us are probably going to get to sleep in tents. Maybe even if you're adventurous and you don't mind the hammock camping, you can sleep in a hammock that's stretched between two trees. It'll be an awesome time. But you need to keep those things in mind if you're considering going on this trip, because you're going to do a lot of walking through sandy ground. You're going to be sleeping outside, probably in a tent on the ground. And you need to consider also how far you are from, if you have medicines and medical conditions and those types of things, you need to consider we're going to be out in the middle of the bush of Africa. So I'm going to lay all that in front of you so that you know and understand what's going on with these trips before you make the decision to go. And I don't want you to let the idea that there's six people prevent you from saying, hey, I want to do this trip, because this is going to be a long-term commitment for Fairway with Jason. And there will be other years. So if you sign up this year and you don't get to go, we'll put you into consideration for the next year. But it's going to be evangelism in a cross-cultural setting where you will go out during the day. You will sit with people who are of a Muslim background, and you will be able to share the gospel and have conversations with them. And the interesting thing about this context is that in the evening, a lot of times, people that you've shared with, they'll come to our camp and they'll want to sit and they'll want to discuss more about the things that you've talked with them about. And so you get over a period of days to be able to sit and talk with them about this gospel, about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done. Man, it's going to be a great and an amazing time. There'll even be some opportunities for some, probably for some spear fishing, going out and sailing on boats. That's kind of the recreational thing that we'll get to do. So keep all that in mind as you're thinking about it. God loves for us to have a good time when we go on these trips, and that's going to be, you get to see parts of Africa and really experience a coastal Africa setting when you go on this trip. Now, the cost of it, I don't want it to scare you. You've got time. You've got time to save for this. And depending on what we give here at in our Light the Way offering, there's probably going to be some way that we can help keep that cost down. The majority of that cost is your round-trip airfare from here to Africa. It's not cheap getting over there. Once you get on the field, there's nothing to buy. There's a few souvenirs if you want them that you can buy from people, but once you get there, there's really not a lot to spend money on. So be in prayer and about this one. Those of you that want to go, we're going to ask you to indicate that at the end of the service. Go to the next slide. Baltimore, we're going back to help Katie, to help Chris and Katie with their church plant. The end of August is when we're going. The reason I can't give you the specific dates on this is because Chris wants us to for our trip to coincide with students, college students that are coming back to Towson University. He wants us to go back on campus and reach new students that are coming there and pull them in to Restoration Church, invite them to come and be a part of it. And so this is what this trip's going to be about. It's going to be campus ministry. And once Towson University has set their dates for the fall semester of 2018, we'll know the exact dates for this one. College students, if you're able to go, man, this would be a great opportunity for you. I know the semester's going to be starting back for you, so you'll have to look at it. This would be a great trip for you to get involved in, to go up there and to be on that campus and to reach new students that are coming back. But it's open to anyone who wants to go. Families, this is another one. If you want to travel a little bit further, this is another great opportunity for you to go. Now, the cost of this trip might be kept down because Chris may actually have a place for us to stay. If he does, then we won't have to spend quite so much. And all you will be responsible for is your airfare of getting up there and getting back. So I want you to keep that in mind, families. This is another great opportunity for you to go to serve alongside of another church as a family. Go to our last one here. We're going back to Belize. The missionary that we worked with there before has retired because of health reasons. We've been connected with a new missionary that's there. We're looking at sending the team down in October. Now, I'm working with him to pick the exact dates of that, but I'm wanting you to go ahead and know that it's going to be about a year from now. And Belize is one of those countries where you're going to have many opportunities to sit and share the gospel with someone while you're there. You're going to have opportunities to get involved in the lives of people. There might be, even on this trip, an opportunity for us to minister to small children in a school setting. Belize has got a law that opens the door for churches to come in and to minister to kids, which is an amazing opportunity. And so we're looking at those different opportunities to be involved with this new mission partner that we have down there. The cost of this, I mean, you can fly from Dallas down there for about $300. But once you get in country, it's pretty cheap. The most expensive thing in country is the gas that's there. And we usually take care of that through our Light the Way missions offering, take care of the fuel and the transportation there in country. So these are the opportunities that are set before you. Go to the next one. That's it. Pray, give, and go. To be actively involved in praying for God's missions efforts. To seek His will and what He would have us give to be able to go and reach these nations. And then where is He calling you to go? Listen, out of all three of these, all of us can do two of them. We can all pray and we can all give. There's no excuse for us not to be able to do both of those. We can all do that. For those of us that are able, now understand that some of us can't go. But for those of us that are able to go, I want you to pray about where God would have you to go. Which one of these opportunities that are in front of you would He ask you to participate in? You may know already. You may know already what God wants you to do. If you do, that's great. You have in your bulletin, and as Pastor Thomas has passed out to some of you, a card that looks like this. This morning we're asking you to commit and to show your commitment to our church of how you're going to be involved in our missions efforts for 2018. You can commit to pray, you can commit to give, you can commit to go. And in going, I'm asking you, if you know already where God wants you to go, or if you even have an interest in one of these trips that's on here, these four trips of Houston, Belize, Baltimore, and Mozambique, would you check that box and indicate that so that we can begin conversing with you about that trip and keep you informed of it as you're praying about whether that's where God would have you to go. provide us your name and your email so that we can reach out to you and start that conversation. So that's what I'm asking during our response time this morning out of all that we've seen today, to respond to God's command to make disciples, to make it real in your life, to participate in the great work that God is doing through Fairway by praying, by giving, and by going. I'm asking you to fill this card out, and as our praise team makes their way up, and they're on stage, they're going to lead us in a time of response. What I'm going to ask you to do is to bring that card and just lay it down here on this altar, on this flat part right here. Lay it here and show your commitment to the Lord this morning, that you're going to participate in what he's called us to do. I'm also going to have some prayer cards here from some different missionaries, some that I mentioned this morning, some that I didn't mention because of security reasons. And I'm going to ask you, if you are going to commit to pray this next year for our missionaries and you want a reminder of someone to pray for, you can lay it down. That's great. What I'm going to ask you to do is pick up one of these cards and take it home with you so that you have a face to go with what you're praying for. They're going to be laying off to the side right over here. You can take these home and have them as a reminder in your Bible, on your refrigerator, wherever you need to put it as a reminder to pray specifically for a missionary. Every one of us has got a role to play in the work that God has called us to do in 2018. And as we go through the next few weeks, we're going to be talking more about Light the Way offering. The Light the Way offering will be taken up on December 17th. There will be a day that I will tell you that we are going to set aside for prayer and fasting in just for that, as we pray about what God would have us to give. But I want to ask you to stand right now as we get ready to respond, as you're filling out those cards and where you want to go, what you want to do. I also want to challenge some of you this morning, as we've talked about, our prayer is for God to raise up from among our church someone, many people, to go as missionaries, to go as church planters. And when you hear what God has done, and you hear and see from Scripture what he expects of his people, I can't help but invite this morning all of you to consider, has God called you to go? Not just on one of these trips, but to invest your life somewhere else for the glory of God and the advance of the gospel. If God is calling you, if you think that God's calling you to that life, I want to encourage you this morning to come and let me or Pastor Thomas know so that we can pray with you and we can begin helping you learn what this means for your life. We want to encourage you in that. We want to help you think through it and get godly counsel on it. So would you respond this morning, if that's you, by simply coming and letting us know. Let's be obedient to the Lord. Let's show him we want to participate even more in what he's done, or what he's doing through our church. We want to see him do even greater things in 2018. As our praise team leads us, would you bring your cards and respond to what God is doing this morning?